It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
If it's Thursday, this must be podcast. Seriously, that's the only way I remember what day today is. Do you know what I've done since Saturday afternoon?
No.
Nothing.
Well, you had to have done something.
Well, okay, probably... I went to the gym every morning because I had to do that, and I had to go to the eye doctor Tuesday.
Okay.
Otherwise, nothing. I slept whenever the crap I felt like. I watched, today I slept at least 13 hours.
Why are you so tired?
I don't know that I am. I just love that I can sleep.
But how can you fall asleep if you're not tired?
This is the thing that, because I knew this was coming. This is my 2 weeks sort of on my own. And I told myself, like, there's a very minimal amount of stuff I need to do to keep going. Mostly it's a vacation, and more than a vacation, it's an attempt at catharsis for the months of sort of building tension from, you know, losing the job and of course the pandemic and everything like that. And apparently how it is largely manifesting is just fucking sleeping. Just all the time, and it feels great. I'm happy. But apparently that's what my bottled up emotions have been saying, is I just want a nap.
I wonder if that's what I would do.
Wasn't what I thought I would do. But
I mean, because I do feel tired a lot, and I'm pretty sure that comes from, I mean, sometimes I don't feel like I'm sleeping very well. So obviously I'm tired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But sometimes it's like, I'm sure, you know, there'd be several days where I'm getting 6 to 8 hours or whatever. And I'm waking up, not from an alarm or anything, but I'm just waking up. I was like, I don't think I should feel this tired. And so then I start to think that, you know, it's just the constantly being assailed by everything that's happening. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
There's some of, you know, emotional tension is a thing.
Yeah, sure is.
And I mean, and it is hard to say, because there's all sorts of reasons to nap. Naps are awesome. Sometimes naps are also a sign of depression, because it's a way you basically can get away from everything and sort of dissociate for a while. So I frequently take naps when I'm not tired. I always have to ask myself, is this because you'd rather just not be awake right now? Or is this because you actually want a nap? And the older I get, the more the answer is because naps are awesome. The older I get, also, the more they screw me up. If I take a nap in the middle of the day, I probably won't get to bed very early that night.
Oh, sure.
But then you get like it is now, where it's just 4 days of falling asleep whenever the heck I felt like, and so now I could sleep at any moment. I might sleep during this podcast for all I know.
I thought you usually did sleep during the podcast,
and I have no idea what. I'm usually sleeping while the rest of you are listening, because I don't listen. I save that time to nap.
I'm pretty sure you sleep a lot of times while I'm talking. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, For certain, I mean, you're getting a lot into definitions of sleep.
Yeah, right, sure.
You know, and I know, I feel without proper MRI equipment here. I mean, I don't think it's going to get us anywhere productive, is what I'm saying.
I hear you.
But anyway, hello, Everyone, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that apparently you can both listen to and create while asleep. I'm Tony, or else I'm William, dreaming I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 502. You know what I realized? I watched the last episode and I had some connection problems last time.
You did.
And I didn't think it would be noticeable, like if you're watching on YouTube, but it is. You can, I mean, you noticed even during it.
I've learned to just leave it and just smile and nod like you were having a normal conversation when you're actually saying,
well, I kind of have to do that. Yeah, I kind of have to do that too, or else I'm going to be talking all the time about missing a little bit of what you said or how I'm trying to catch up with what
you might be. Sometimes it's not even a connection issue. Sometimes I just talk like that.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you're watching me, in the last one, it seemed like, because I was watching me anyway, it's like, wow, I just don't even seem like I'm really trying to pay attention to what's going on. And I am having a hard time paying attention, but it's not because I'm like bored by anything you're talking about. It's because the connection wasn't really letting me get the full.
It was bad for 500. Dude, something wrong with your house.
Yeah.
Check out. Maybe it was buried on an ancient burial ground and they just moved the headstones.
I don't know. Well, if that's the case, it's really bad because we actually, our house is like 10 feet below where the top of the ground actually was in this.
Oh my.
This was a farm, right?
And they it was a burial pit and now you're in it.
And they removed all the topsoil. And so like there's a retaining wall just about 10 or 15 feet from where I'm sitting that's about 10 feet high that shows just, you know, that's so if people were buried here, their bodies were like about where the ceiling is relative to where I'm sitting right now.
I don't like talking about this, but not for the reason you think. Not because I don't like the idea of you being surrounded by bodies, because so much of this sounds like the final footage in the documentary about you, where we explain about the bad thunderstorm and flash flood that happened 3 days later after this footage that took the entire neighborhood out. Like, so much of it feels like the last reel, immediately followed by one of your relatives just batting away tears and being like, he was a special guy.
He was a special guy. He was a special guy.
That's when they're related to you, that's what you say. When they aren't related, you're like, they always kept themselves.
Oh, yeah, right.
When it's family, you have to be like, he was a special guy. You're like, there's this retaining wall right next to me. All you left out was, if something were to happen, I'd be crushed.
I don't know. I mean, the retaining wall is actually not in very good shape right now. So,
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually not completely out of the question for it to fail.
Even those without much landscaping experience might be able to put together the phrase retaining wall and not doing well to be a bad combination.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of ground that's held back by it, of course. I don't know what would happen.
Poorly, as we've just established.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a window right here. So it seems like if it failed
me,
the most catastrophically, if it failed and all of that ground just sort of collapsed in a kind of a what do you want to say, like a landslide type of situation, it probably would go through the window. But I don't think, I mean it would cause a lot of damage, but I think I'd be fine. I mean, I sleep right there, so I don't think I'd be like buried alive or anything like that. Although that would be an appropriate demise for someone whose bedroom is
fate to this degree
is being haunted by people who were buried low enough to be just where my ceiling is.
Well, We know what the episode title is now, because clearly it's going to have to be Exhibit A when eventually the wrongful death suit comes through.
This is appropriate speculation for our spooktacular this year, I think.
That's true. You got me freaked out immediately.
So who was buried here that's going to curse me to be also buried by the collapsing retaining wall?
All the things that you do in horror movies earn being eaten by demons or, you know, whatever it is. Of all the different ones, the one that I've always loved best was the ancient burial ground. And we just moved the headstone, which is it the original Poltergeist? Is that where that one's from?
I think they even said Indian burial ground.
I know. I'm PCing it up. Yes, it's an ancient Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
And that was always sort of a joke growing up until I was older and I knew about the movie. And no, the whole thing was they said they moved it. They only moved the headstone. So all the dead Indian bodies were still there. And just at that age, I was like, isn't that a son of a bitch? I like that so much better than the I forgot to say goodbye on the Ouija board, you know, that kind of deal.
Do you think
headstones were the only problem? Headstones do the haunting, right?
I guess. Do you think it would be just like an ordinary farmer who's mad that I live here? I mean, would that be enough? Or would the farmer have to be evil in some way? Would it have to be a witch? Could it, you know, or something like that?
I mean, this is 2020. I assume you're harassed and eventually devoured by the ghosts of a bunch of pigs. Like your house has the trap spirits of like a high capacity containment barn.
I don't know, saying
you see pigs and nobody really believes you because that's crazy. And then, I mean, I assume it ends with you falling into a giant, like U-Haul sized feeding trough.
No. It's got to be like this. There's got to be like a farmer has to live like clear outside of town. And like his wife or one of his kids gets possessed, right?
Okay.
So then the minister comes and just like in the Bible when Jesus casts some demons out into some pigs, he does the same thing to this farmer's pigs. He casts the
This is a thing.
Yeah, in the Bible, Jesus casts some demons out
into some pigs.
Yeah. In fact, I think I saw a movie.
Why is this not the plot of like 7,000 different horror movies? Why am I just hearing of this? This is one of the cooler things I've heard of Jesus doing. Not just stop possessing this person, but now possess that pig. That's awesome.
Well, no, actually the demons asked if they could be cast into the pigs. The demons asked that.
What?
Yeah. I wish I had my Bible here so I could look it up. You never heard of this before?
First and last time that's ever going to be said on this podcast. I know Jesus cast out some demons. I did not know anything about no pigs.
Yeah, they asked for that. But I just saw a horror movie that actually talked about that. And I forget what the movie was called, but it did bring that up. Jesus casting the demons into some pigs.
Not in a cool pig-related way, though, right? It was just somebody's speech while they were about to murder the hero or something?
No, it was like somehow it was part of the plot and everything that this was brought up.
Gotta figure out what this is. I want to see this.
Really?
I love me some demon pigs. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so in our story, we could use that where the minister casts them into pigs, or maybe they could even ask to be cast into the pigs. I don't know.
Apparently, yeah.
But see, what happens in this story is the pigs like run into a pond or drown or something like that. And maybe
the ghost of pigs that used to be possessed.
Yeah. And so like my room, like they didn't just remove all the ground here, but there was actually a pond here that they had to drain and dig out.
Mm.
Oh, that would be cool. Maybe that. So then
Andy Serkis plays each of the pigs with a slightly different mocap suit.
Oh, I wish I could remember. I mean, we could build
lore here, like the pigs that are there. We could talk about which one they were, like which one had roast beef and which one went to market, all that stuff. Could be part of the character.
See, we've been trying to watch, because we've got so many streaming services now, we've been trying to use them to, you know, because we like to watch horror movies around Halloween anyway. So we have all these streaming services that have horror offerings. And so we've been trying to watch some things that look like they might be good, and none of them really have been. So we saw this one and I kind of remember that being brought up, but it was so bad. I don't really remember what it was called, or at least I thought it was bad. Maybe you'd think it was okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I've been watching some weird ones. I finally, the other day, realized I had never actually seen Total Recall. Like the original 1990.
Arnold Schwarzenegger one,
yeah. So I watched that. That was weird. It's not bad. It holds up for being very 80s, but it made me realize my gap in Arnold Schwarzenegger is largely during his most famous years. So for me, it goes like Predator and then Jingle All the Way. Like all the stuff when he was at his height, not there.
But you saw Jingle All the Way, though?
No, I was aware of it in the zeitgeist. You know? And I know a couple things about it. But I don't really know anything about the ones in between, and I haven't seen most of them. So what this means, in a practical sense, is I wasn't there for the chunk of time when he would just make a quip after murdering everyone. We all thought that was normal. You know, James Bond did it during that time and stuff too, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, take a load off after you'd like thrown some gravel, some rocks on him or something, you know?
Take a load.
Total Recall. He shoots Sharon Stone right between the eyes and says, want the divorce, or consider this a divorce. That was just the thing back then, but that's what I'm saying, is I'm aware of it, but I missed it, so it's very jarring. It's like, see you at the party, and I'm like, you just tore his arms off. This is a literal thing in the movie. Tears a guy's arm off with the help of an elevator shaft, and then says, see you at the party. I'm like,
yeah.
What were we then, as a species?
Well, I mean that went on for a long. I mean, you know, with
it really like did
said, James Bond. You know, he'd kill someone with electric shock. Yeah. And shocking, you know, exactly. And that kind of thing.
And I mean, and Schwarzenegger peeked out at his Mr. Freeze role, where that was the whole character.
I guess I never really thought of that having to start somewhere where someone would do that and then have some quip. I never really, you're right. That had to, someone had to have started that.
And he did it a lot because a lot of his movies in the 80s were sort of the same movie. there was a bit of a Mad Lib, like which family member dies, which family member are you trying to save? Which bad guys are you saving them from? What paramilitary background do you have in this one? Otherwise it was the same thing. Yeah, it was just so weird to watch it. Be like, so are we less desensitized now? Because now, if you have a movie where you shove a drain pipe through somebody's chest, you're not going to expect something funny.
No?
No. Maybe I'm not watching the right movies.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I wasn't nowadays, aware.
To me, it's all gritty, so you can't be flip like that. Feel that I stabbed you right then, and we're still going to show it in explicit detail. It's not fun now; it's serious.
Maybe I don't. I didn't really know.
Maybe I just don't watch those kind of movies then or now. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
You could be right. I don't know if I ever noticed. Well, again, I don't know. I mean, it never occurred to me that had to start first of all somewhere. It just happened. I just remember
Chaplin
it happening.
Chaplin used to do it.
But not all people did it, even while, I mean, you know, not everyone's, I mean, done it. But
there was enough that I would say it was a trend of the genre at the time.
Huh. Maybe. But like you say, I don't watch, I don't really enjoy those types of movies, so maybe that's...
I'm going to check out that one where he's either trying to save or has just lost baby Alyssa Milano. I don't think I've seen that one yet, so I'm going to watch... I'll watch that and see if that's any better. That might be the one where he says, let off some steam after he stabs someone with a steam pipe. So, might not be any better.
Are you generally offended by this, or are you just making a joke about it, really?
I'm not generally offended by anything. So, speaking of... episode's about half over. We should probably explain the show. We have a hat.
Okay.
It's magical. In that you just sit down, have a little juice box. I'll go through this. In that it has its own email. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Folks, people who are still listening after hundreds of episodes, right into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It really looks like you've gone and taken a nap. He just laid his head down with little comments, topics, questions. I forget what the fourth one is. Those kind of things. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Now it just looks like you're playing an incredibly stressful game of Minesweeper against somebody.
Yep, and I'm losing.
I told you the hat transmogrifies. All right, it's Minesweeper playing servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them overboard, do that for about an hour. That is the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. I think 500 has done something to us. I think we're phoning it in even more now.
No. See, I was bothered that I couldn't remember everything about this Jesus casting the demons into.
So you've been hunting stuff up on.
Yes, I know. I'm not supposed to, but it seems like they. I couldn't remember if they ran off of a cliff and died or they were drowned. I think
you're thinking of the Disney movie where they ran the lemmings off the cliff. That's different.
But I think they did drown, it looks like, in one of the accounts.
Demons.
In Mark. In Mark specifically, but maybe in all. I'm just looking at Mark right now. I wonder if I can find which movie that was. Nah, never mind. I know I'm not supposed to do this.
Which movie that was?
The movie I was thinking about where.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the biblical cinematic universe, as it were.
But yes, in the Bible, they also drown. So see, that would still work for ours, where they go into a pond or whatever and drown.
There we go. I mean,
it would all fit. I mean, people might
recoup our investment.
People might say we're ripping off that other horror movie, but I don't think anyone saw that other horror movie. Still, wouldn't matter.
It would be great. People say you're ripping off that one, and then you're like, "That's the one. I couldn't find the name. That's the one I wanted. I got to call Tony. That's yeah. Thank you. It's been driving me.
I don't know why it was. I can't even remember why it was a part of the story. It was like. It wasn't just talked about casually. It was like part of how the story worked.
Did you watch the credits? Did they like thank the Iowa Port Council or?
No.
Maybe you saw what you saw was blatant propaganda.
What was that about? I don't remember even why it was mentioned in the story, but I don't think it was like what we're talking about where, you know, there's actually going to be haunted pigs or whatever. I don't think it would happen.
So they're missing it. That's the only reason that matters. If it's something you're just going to scoot off stage, it doesn't matter. And then Jesus casts the demons into the cabbages, and we knocked them into the well, and they're gone. Anyway, where was I? Like, Jesus cast it into the Girl Scouts that were waiting to sell cookies and helped them sell more than any other troop, so don't worry about them then. Anyway, like, that's terrible. You have demons entering pigs.
Yeah.
Chekhov's possessed pig.
What?
Chekhov's possessed pig. The thing that may replace the title of he was a special little guy in this episode. Anton Chekhov always said, if in the first act you introduce a pig possessed by a demon spirit, and the third act has to have gone off. Otherwise, what was the point of it?
Yeah, Chekhov did say that about a possessed pig.
I was going to say, you dramatic literature people out there, back me up on this. Chekhov's possessed pig.
Or maybe it was a gun. I don't remember. Probably the pig.
You're thinking too hard about it. It's all metaphor, man.
Yeah.
We're all having to deal with our own possessed pig. Internally, but externally. There.
You were breaking up while you were doing that bit, so I couldn't. That's what
it
wouldn't I mean.
It didn't make a lot of difference. It didn't make.
I know, but I just whatever.
This is the worst episode we've ever done. We are sitting snugly on our laurels.
Maybe I need to do something about my router or something, because I don't know why this is a problem.
Oh, for me, it's 4 days of screwing up my circadian rhythm. That has nothing to do with the internet.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck. And honestly, between now and next Thursday, no commitments except the gym. I'm really going to be a nut by next week.
Well, that'll be fun.
Well, next week will be 2 days after the election. So who knows what that's going to be like? I'm hiding for Tuesday and Wednesday. Not required to go to the gym, and I'm going to request that people don't contact me. I don't exactly know how it's all going to go down or how I'm going to react, but it's going to take some effort and take some processing, whatever happens. So, glad it'll be over, though. I'm going to miss telling YouTube that the ads were inappropriate.
I mean, I hope it's going to be over.
I mean, this thing will be over. There may be a whole new thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's not over, but.
Well, I just mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about how long it's going to take to count the votes and all that nonsense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That friend of mine at the gym, who's much older and who is the sweetest little old lady, rather soft-spoken, nice enough, is having major surgery the day after the election. And so I told her, I was like, I'm not going to be here the day after, but you won't either because you'll be at your surgery. She's like, yeah, I'll be zonked out while that's going on. And she says, I'm going to wake up and the first thing I'm going to say is, who won the fucking election? And she says, pardon me. And I said, no, it's fine. I said, and they're going to tell you, and we both said in union, we don't know yet. And I was like, yep. Well. We'll get through it.
Yeah, we will get through it. That's one thing we can know for sure.
No, I met her and I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, I will too.
No, I've placed some bets with some very dangerous people. Things don't go a certain way. Just saying.
Well, unless the ghost pigs trigger the retaining wall and I get buried, that might happen.
So you got options. You got a lot going for you there.
Yeah.
See how it goes. All right, I'm gonna draw a thing out of a hat.
Okay.
A hat, not just a random. This is a thing from a hat. This is from Dave of Id. Some of you may remember him from his quick little drop in from the Millennium Falcon in episode 500.
Yeah,
what is? I'm sorry.
I was going to say we thought he was going to take his payment and leave, but last minute he came back.
Yep.
Heart of gold. Heart of gold.
And if you watch his prequel movie, you realize he always kind of was and really was never a bad guy of any sort. It's always kind of squeaky. A white teenager who wanted something to rebel against, so to speak. All right. Anyway, Dave of Id asks, what is your favorite sequel movie? That is a tough question.
I mean, Empire Strikes Back comes to mind immediately. That seems like too obvious an answer, though. Seems like there ought to be another one. Maybe that's not a favorite, but it's just really high up there.
Well, and this comes the thing. Is this sequel was the best kind of sequel I wanted for that first movie, or is this the sequel was actually better than the first movie?
Yeah, right.
So those are different things. For instance, Thor Ragnarok is probably my favorite sequel because it was so much better than the two movies before. But I actively didn't like the two movies before, so I don't know how much credit you get. And then Empire is awesome. It's a little dangerous when you say it's better than New Hope, although a lot of people would say that. Things like that, but it's a great sequel.
Yeah.
It probably is better than New Hope, but you know.
But even if it wasn't, it's like you say, even if you don't think it's better, or if you think New Hope is better, I think most people still agree that it's a fitting sequel. It's a satisfying sequel.
Most sequels let you down pretty hard.
Yeah, that's.
I've not had a lot of luck with sequels in a while.
I mean, really, in terms of, except for Empire, and
at a certain point, parts of the MCU did pretty well overall.
Well, that's what I was going to say. After Empire, you get to the MCU, which I wouldn't say. A lot of the sequels are improvements, or some of them aren't even that good, but they're not disappointing. I mean, you know, you can watch the whole thing to Endgame, and there's going to be low points like the Thor movies and stuff, but for the most part, it's pretty entertaining.
And they build off each other. Sometimes you do get some good sequels.
Yeah.
They're better. I'm kind of hoping for that with Captain Marvel.
And I don't know.
There's so many that you can have good and bad in there real easy.
I don't know if you can say that about any sequel series that came before it. I mean, even like...
Well, okay, if we're just sticking with the general populace, here's the easy answer. Terminator.
Oh, Judgment Day was pretty good.
People love the first Terminator, but there's not a single person in the world who won't say the second one's better.
Yep, Judgment Day. That's a good one. Thanks for bringing that one up, because that is a good one.
And then everything after that has been absolute monkey poop.
Like I'm thinking of I'm thinking of Harry Potter, for example, right? I mean, that was a whole series that was what, 7 films or something? Or was it 8? What was it?
It was 8. They split the 7th book into 2.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone would say that the sequels were worse, but I don't think they would either say that they were better. I think most people treat the whole thing like it was one. Yeah,
but they were adequate.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't like, wow, this is so much worse than the shit I saw before. Neither was I like, wow, this is so much better than the shit I saw before.
Right. Like if you like the first...
Yep, this is more of this, and here's a lot of it.
Yeah, right. If you like the first one, you'll like the rest of them. And if you don't like the first one, you won't like the rest of them.
And I mean, gun to my head, I could probably order them. But what's interesting is I could do that much more with the book. Could tell you like which books I really like and which ones I don't much more strongly than I feel about the movies.
Do you think there are some people who like Aliens better than they liked Alien, or as good maybe?
There definitely used to be. I think there still are. That's is there such drastically different movies?
Yeah.
So if you like a claustrophobic horror movie, Alien way better. If you want a sci-fi action film, Aliens is definitely more your thing.
Completely different in tone, really. Yeah.
No. All right. I'm going to tell us the spookiest thing of the evening. There are two movies I have never seen.
Okay.
Terminator 2. And Alien.
You have not seen Judgment Day or Aliens?
No, I've seen Terminator and I've seen Alien. And I'm very familiar with the plot line and the actors of those other two movies. But like with Total Recall, never seen them, either one. I own Aliens. I'm looking at a DVD box set of the first four. But I've just never watched it.
I've seen them all. My opinion of Aliens has gone down. Since I watched them all together, I realize I don't really like Aliens that much. I like all the rest of them. I mean, I like Alien the best, but I even can like some of the other ones if I think of them in the context of Alien, because they have the same tone and they're trying to sort of achieve the same kind of, I can actually kind of like them if I see them all together. But Aliens is like the weakest and the least interesting one. I haven't seen Judgment Day in ages, though.
Quotable and things like that. Let's talk Riddick.
Oh.
I don't even, like... Pitch Black is a good sci-fi horror movie.
Yeah, my wife...
It's not about Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, Abby likes it a lot.
The Chronicles of Riddick... is fully insane. Like, that movie is ridiculous. And it has a cult status that even Pitch Black doesn't. Like, the producer really loves that movie. But she's aware of how Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh.
She's aware of how bad it is, and she loves it.
I don't remember. Then
there's the third one, which was, let's take the worst elements of the first two movies and put them together in what is basically a retelling of the first movie. Hmm. It's awful.
Well,
it also turns a woman from being lesbian during the movie.
Oh, I don't remember
and it's
that.
Katie Sackhoff, which somehow lent it extra anger to me.
I'm pretty sure we've seen all three of these movies. I'm pretty sure Abby likes Pitch Black. I'm not sure she liked the other two, but we did see them both. So maybe she liked the second one. I don't remember.
Most people in respectable company will tell you the first Pitch Black was a good movie and the two Riddick movies are awful. Hmm. And these people are not wrong. But there is something just... falls out ridiculous about the pageantry and the hubris of Chronicles of Riddick. Like, that's a guy really trying to convince the world his old D&D character mattered for millions of dollars, and you can see that in there. But it's a hot mess. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it is amazing to watch. And especially if you want to look at muscular Vin Diesel in his prime. There's some good shots there too. And Carl Urban, actually.
But you watch, I mean, do you watch a lot of horror movies that have a lot of sequels? Do you watch that stuff?
Yes, I do watch a lot of those. The ones that have the sequels often aren't particularly good, in my opinion.
You've never seen
the one-offs and the indie things.
But you've never seen a sequel that you thought, wow, this is actually pretty good.
I thought there was one. thing of example, I was talking with today about the Evil Dead movies with somebody, and a lot of people would say sequels of that got better. I'm one of the few people who disagrees. Mm. I loved the first movie, and I didn't really care about either of the other movies.
Mm.
But I think a lot of people would say that. Horror would be the place to find that kind of shit.
I feel about it now. I don't know how I feel about it now, but I liked the original Highlander and none of the rest of them at all.
I was thinking about that earlier. Highlander 2.
Yeah.
I didn't. Funny thing. So I'm too young for Highlander. And I didn't see it or know anything about it. But I was just at the age that when I saw trailers on TV for Highlander 2, I was like, what the fuck is this awesome thing? Where's Highlander 1? Because for an 80s white kid, the trailer to Highlander 2, if you know nothing about the backstory, is amazing.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Swords and explosions and people with weird accents and more swords, lots of swords. There can be only one, you know, that always sounds cool. So, and it looked really cool. And like, it showed some of the action set pieces, which are stupid as hell. They looked really awesome in the moment. So then we had to go see the original. I saw it. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then I saw the second one and I was like, what? Like, it's awful.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible.
It's the only movie I've ever heard of where the director's cut just eliminated a significant chunk of the film and didn't really add anything. No, it's true. It's called the Renegade Cut. And it just took out any reference to what they had put in this movie, which is that the immortals are actually aliens.
Yeah,
from the planet Zeist, sent here as punishment. Just eliminated that whole plot line. That's the director's cut. Is there like, never mind. That didn't happen.
Well, that was dumb anyway.
Oh, so bad. So bad. Oh. Wait, complete waste of Michael Ironside. I don't know. I eventually stopped watching them. I saw the third one in the theater, which was hilarious, because it was just like, so now Christopher Lambert has won multiple times. Then we just realized, oops, we forgot Mario Van Peebles has been sitting in a cave in China for a few hundred years. Also, he's a sorcerer, because so let's have him show up, then steal a lot of scenes from the first movie, and then he'll win. I mean.
Did you ever watch the TV show?
I did.
Was it any good?
It was not.
Oh, okay.
It was perfectly fine for the time. For a 90s Vancouver-made action genre show, it was great. It was fine.
Mm.
And it got really weird because I stopped watching it. And then in college, a friend who was obsessed with it told me about like the season I had missed, and they like killed off main characters and like new people had magic powers and shit, and I was like, oh my god, what happened? But that's what happened in the 90s. Your show was going too long. Did you ever watch Kung Fu The Legend Continues?
No.
You know Kung Fu, David Carradine.
Yeah.
Western thing where he's a monk beating people up. Well, yeah. When UPN, I swear I've told this before, when UPN first launched, they had three new shows that were their foundation. One was Time Tracks.
Yeah, you did talk about this, Time Tracks. Yes.
And Time Tracks did pretty well for a while. Two was Babylon 5, which blew it at the pilot. They showed the pilot and then they stopped. Year later, they started it such that they had to recast a bunch of people and do it differently. But then it went on for 5 years. And Kung Fu, The Legend Continues, which is David Carradine's still Qui Chang Kane, but he's super fucking old. Ends up in Toronto, I don't know, where his son, who left the temple when he was younger because he didn't want to be Shaolin, is now a cop. And ancient wise Kung Fu dad now helps him out. And they try and resolve, you know, standard 90s bullshit. What's hilarious about it is it went for four seasons. The first two seasons was a lot like Kung Fu. We have a problem. Oh, that reminds me of a problem when you were little. I think instead of Master Po and Qui Chang Kane, they had Qui Chang Kane and like the baby version of his son. I don't remember. It was always like, oh, see, and see how this translates here and this makes sense. And oh, at the end, I can help you with my very slow Kung Fu and ruin these guys. You know, like the original show.
Okay.
With the son. The last two seasons, they were like, nobody's into this shit. Okay, magic's real. All right. Now, like, just ancient ninjas are going to come and try and get Qui Chang Kane. And, like, we have to find the sacred book, or else ninjas will possess him for all of eternity. And then, oh, wait. No, it turns out that this other sidekick you've had is actually frog spirit and wants to help you, but you like just shit out of nowhere. I love when shows do that. Speaking, we haven't talked Lovecraft Country.
I mean, we
finale.
Talked
about,
we didn't.
I don't think so. Didn't we talk about the finale? I guess we must have, because it would have been last Monday. I don't know what day it is.
I'm pretty sure we did talk about.
I don't remember what you thought about it.
I said that I thought the show was very good. And you mentioned that you had some issues with it.
I had issues with the final episode in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked to some other people, and I think some of it's just that it's not. They were going for something with that finale that wasn't what I was necessarily.
And there was something that you liked in the book, a monologue or something.
There's a few things like that, yeah. But
and that,
just a lot of shit they painted in sort of broad strokes at the end, and it felt very, I don't know.
Yeah, and I wondered how much of the changes they made in the show was because they anticipated wanting more seasons than the than just going straight off the book would have allowed.
Which they're clearly shooting for. Yeah, I remember this now. I know who you are. I've met you a couple times.
Yep. It probably wasn't a very pleasant experience for you.
I don't know how to follow that, so I'm going to draw another thing. And I'm gone. All right. This is from Craig. Hello, Craig.
Not from Slough?
No, from Liverpool, I think.
That's what you said.
At the moment. But he moves a lot. He moves. Has the COVID crisis led to you using social media more or less than before? Yes. It's led me to do one of those.
I don't use social media any more than I did before. I have been tempted, actually, to get back on Facebook because of this stuff going on, because it's like, well, you know, if I'm actually not, if I know that in the months ahead or whatever, I'm not going to be able to go places, you know, maybe this is a good time to get, you know, back on to Facebook and things like that, because people are going to be posting more on social media probably. But I didn't do it. So I'm basically using social media as the same amount that I was before, which is mostly not at all.
I'm in a similar situation. I use Facebook to post the podcast. I use Twitter to post the podcast. I don't have Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or feedback or Shark Talk. Monkey flings. He's in a pod. Face space. This is like the worst reiteration of a drunk uncle sketch from Saturday Night Live. No, I don't really use any social media that much. I have started occasionally glancing at Twitter a little bit more, but that more has to do with losing my job and now using my personal computer instead. Honestly, I feel like the experience has downplayed that stuff for me. Like, I feel like going forward, I'm going to use those things less. I don't know. The way they are set up for me, they feel very artificial. Like, I don't care what's happening with these people, and they don't really care what's happening with me. I know this because if I did care about these people or they cared about me, we would spend more time communicating in real ways, not Facebook. Yeah, this would have been a major opportunity for me to switch gears and get way back into that again, but I haven't.
Well, when I was on Facebook, I mean, I really did like seeing, you know, my classmates posting pictures of their kids and stuff. I mean, I, you know, before Facebook, it's not like I kept in touch with really, you know, I'm looking over here because I have a picture of my class right up here. Sometimes you can see it in the podcast if you're watching on YouTube, the picture of my classmates. It's not like I kept in touch with a lot of them. And they didn't keep in touch with much with me either. But you know, Facebook was a great way to, you know, and sometimes I did have conversations with them. And they had conversations with me just whenever it came up and it was like organic for that to happen. When I left Facebook, it was mostly because I was, I mean, this was before Trump was president and all that. And I already felt like social media was getting really gross. And I just really couldn't, I just got to a point where I really
couldn't. Oh, no, then you're great then. Since Trump took over, it's gotten way better.
Well.
You should definitely come back now.
The thing is, it was
you'll
like.
You'll be surprised.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. It was like a. I mean, I think it was like several years. I stopped Facebook several years before he was elected. So it was already gross. Then when he was elected, I knew it was going to get more gross. And then after COVID, it just seemed like it was going to get even more gross. So it's like, yeah. It ever since I left, because it was, in fact, when I left, I thought, you know what, maybe things will calm down and I can return when things aren't so bad. But of course, they just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So, I mean, that's why I've never come back, because, I mean, as much as I do actually miss people from Facebook who I only was getting reacquainted with after I got on Facebook, and it's like, I'm going to miss these people, but the stress this causes really is awful. And like you just pointed out, there isn't a lot. I mean, while I enjoyed that, the little bit of connection I was establishing, it's not like you said, it's not like we were just talking every day. It's not like, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody relied on me to be there or whatever. So it seemed like, okay, I'll miss these people for a little while, but, and I'll come back when things, you know, get better. And of course it never has. So I've just been way ever
since. The thing is, I frequently don't miss those things. I find when I'm at a point where I've got a website for being an author, I'm sure I will make a Facebook page and a Twitter account specifically for that. And try and keep that sort of active. But outside of that, I don't. I mean, when I joined Facebook, it was really cool. Everybody was super happy to see me, and I caught up with everybody who I'd ever known everywhere. And in a couple of cases, I became kind of friends with people that I hadn't been friends with earlier in life, but now, like, our updated stuff gelled a little more. So that was cool for a little while. Then that kind of passed, and I realized that while it's really neat to find out Ryan, who I've been in school with since fifth grade, what he's been doing over the last 15 years since I heard anything, it's not necessarily as interesting to come back the following week and see what he's been doing in that week. Like, most of the people on Facebook, I'm like, yeah, give me an update every 10 years or so, just in real broad strokes, you know? Number of kids, kind of job, happy in your job.
When you were in high school, were you in high school with people that you'd known since, say, kindergarten?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you? Yeah. I mean, because, you know, my graduating class was like 32 people who I knew since I was six, you know.
Mine was about 300, so there were a lot that I hadn't known for a long time.
So, you know, I don't think anybody, I mean, I've talked about this before, and when I say this, I don't say this with any hard feelings or anything like that, but I don't think there's probably anybody back home that misses me or thinks of me at all. But for me, I definitely, you know, think of these people almost, you know, like family. And when I see them, I feel like we're picking up right where we left off. I think there might be two or three people I can say would feel the same or would act the same, but most people, class, much less in other classes or just from Melcher Dallas in particular, probably don't feel the same.
Or outside of that, I feel really awkward every time we run into each other in the real world. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I go for the handshake. You go for the hug. It's awkward.
I'm not one of those people that if someone doesn't feel the same toward me that I feel toward them, I don't feel put off by that. I mean, even I remember when
I picked you for this podcast.
When I was in fourth grade, I had a crush on this girl who never felt the same way toward me. In fact, I liked her forever. In fact, even when I was in high school, she came back. I saw her and I talked to her and I still thought she was the greatest, but never did she have the same feelings toward me. It didn't matter. I mean, I would have liked it if she did, but I did not feel this crush of unrequited whatever. I mean, I've always been that way where if I feel something for somebody, friendship or whatever, and they don't feel the same way back, it doesn't make a difference to me. I still feel what I feel and I still appreciate them for that. And so
cornerstone of our friendship.
So the fact that people back home, and I know I've talked about this before, the fact that I don't think they feel the same way about me, it doesn't bother me at all. But I also don't want to, like, you know, bother them or make them feel creeped out because I'm all excited to see them, but they're like, I don't even know you anymore. You know, it's like, I don't want them to be weirded out or be burdened by the fact that I'm excited to see them or whatever. So even as much as I might want to be where someone else is and talk to them, if they don't feel the same way, I'm not gonna, you know, I'll keep my distance. I know how to leave people alone so they don't feel like I'm stalking them or something.
I feel like if you were born 10 years earlier than you had been born, you would be perfect to be one of the, like, traveling slim good buddies. Like, not the one from the TV show, but like the one who went to the schools thing.
Why do you say that?
You're just the right amount of, like, enthusiasm, but professional distance. And it's like, I'm here. I wanted to share with you some cool health tips, but it's fine. If you think I'm dumb, that's fine. I'm just, you know, I'm Slim Goodbody.
I would be like,
I'm not
that,
necessarily yeah. The Slim Goodbody. I'm a Slim Goodbody.
I would be like that. I would be like, oh, yeah. You think this is ridiculous or stupid or you hate my guts? Okay.
That's the to be Slim Goodbody, you had to have a certain amount of, like, intestinal fortitude because you knew you
no
were
pun intended
hanged on at school, but also, like, be into it enough that you aren't just secretly like, yeah, well, fuck you guys too. I feel like, William, you're right at that point. You're like,
I would. You know. You're right. If I took a job like that, it would only be because I have the kind of enthusiasm for it that would be hard for even nasty children to take away from me.
Yes, and just so I don't ever get sued, this could be construed as a variant on Pete Holmes' bit about how this is the only universe where he's not a youth pastor. So. You know, credit where credit is due.
I don't think I would take that job, though, because I don't think I'd feel comfortable in the suit for a variety of reasons.
I assumed we'd have to pad it out. I assumed you'd be wearing long johns underneath it and then snow pants on top of it. And then, like, a Snoopy sweater. Because, yeah. Again, the time period, I feel like.
I mean, those are concerns as far as it being form-fitting and everything, but also I found that I found that whole thing just kind of gross. The whole transparent man kind of thing.
It was weird. It was weird that we were just like, that's how things are. Like, like, you know,
yeah, I didn't like it.
Of a certain age, we can all be like, remember the time we all got called into the gym at once, and then a man with no skin sang and danced for a while? You remember, we all have that experience, right? We all had the no skin man showed up at our school.
Yeah.
Told us how important fruit was.
Yeah.
Like, no skin, just a guy, but just you could see all the bits, just no skin, full horror movie. He was friendly and chuckled sometimes if you got the right one.
I mean, according to my mom,
that's weird.
According to my mom, I was always interested in health. I mean, and today that's still true. Always interested in health things. Like, if someone pitched me the Slim Goodbody job, like, oh, you're going to help kids understand health and diet and stuff. Oh, man, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. But as soon as they tell me you're going to have to dress like this, I'd be new. Sorry.
Which is the thing, which proves that cocaine had to have been involved in the original pitch meeting. Because who the hell? Who, like, everything about that is so normal. It's like, what's your shtick? Well, our shtick is the host naked,
but skinless, so it's okay.
Get it by the sensors, it's fine because we take the skin off too. Skin is technically the only part that you get in trouble for.
Yeah,
there's just no skin.
Right. If there's no skin, there's no
nudity. Otherwise, pretty standard school assembly stuff.
Of course, that didn't work.
That, I mean, twist.
Wasn't he only skinless in the front? So technically,
no, I think it was all around, but it was definitely neck down.
Yeah.
But no, I think it was, I mean, I can't conjure to mind Slim Goodbody's butt, I'll be honest. And I've tried.
I just don't.
So I don't know for sure, but I thought it was all the way around. I don't.
Could have been. I don't remember. I
was way into him.
Seeing him from the back, actually.
I was very enthusiastic when he would show up, and I do not know why. I guess I've always hated skin. Seriously. I mean, we always joke about like Sid and Marty Croft and it's all about drugs or whatever. Who was over there green lighting Slim Goodbody? Who wasn't just on your TV? No, he went to the one place all your children hang out when you're not there. The government invited his skinless ass to go talk to your kids while
he never at work. He never came to our school, but I knew that did happen.
Oh, he absolutely came to ours, and I saw him on TV.
I knew that did happen.
And ours had just the right of like old perm mullet that it always looked the same. If you got a white guy with that haircut, they all looked exactly the same. So, like, vaguely like the guy who played Horshack on what's Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah,
that's right. Like him. And he actually had a career in some movies. He was the hero in a bad horror movie I watched a while back. And in a recent episode of Murder, She Wrote, he was her lawyer and really bad at it. But I was still like, yeah, Horseshack made good. I mean, we're not going to top all the about the skinless man, so I feel like act says we should end it here. No, okay. Craig, we haven't found any change in our social media, but we did determine we are probably the two worst people to ask.
Probably.
So, don't put all that bullshit here. Go sell that crap on Happy Jacks or something.
And Tony hates skin.
Oh, as a child, I did. I came to terms with it.
You
now.
You grew.
I'm very close to my skin now. I feel bad for it. All right, if I could have stopped it, I would have. It was there. I had to say it. I apologize. It was not a good joke. All right. Hopefully, I'll have my head screwed on straighter by next week, but we'll see. In the meantime, I hope you guys are all having a perfectly wonderful life. And I hope that you listen next week, even though our best episode and our worst episode were officially 2 weeks apart.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.